But before I kind of ramble on, let's move on to the Western Conference. Talking about a team that we talked about small ball earlier, but we'll talk about the main small ball squad. Houston Rockets, man. Hey, this was a team you were high on in terms of, you know, you're a big Russ guy. You kind of give me a lot of, you know, hate in terms of how much I, you know, kind of criticize this team. And I like him, don't get me wrong, but I definitely feel like sometimes there's missed opportunities in terms of how teams are built around him. And Houston, to me, I'm not sure if it's kind of another episode of that where it feels like, hey, yes, you have Harden and you have shooters, but one, is it shooting enough? And two, how are they going to be able to play a PJ Tucker who's about 6'5", and then you have wings who are 6'8", 6'7"-ish, but they're not really that elite defensively as a team. They do have PJ and Rocco, but other than that, how do you feel about this team?
Oh, man. This team scares the fuck out of me, man. I don't know if I could swear. You might have to edit that shit out. They scare, bro. They scare me. And, you know, yeah, I think Russell gets a really bad rap. You know, I think sometimes they kind of make him seem like he's a bad guy or a bad teammate, but the guy is just so intense, you know? And we saw, like, I don't know if you know, Houston was trying to rest Harden down the stretch before the lockout came, but you know, Russ was that guy on that team, I'd say, like, the last 10, 15 games of the season. Mm-hmm. He was leading the team in scoring a lot. He was taking a lot of shots. He was going to the basket, but his field goal percentage was up there. He was going to the basket a lot. His mid-range was really working. He wasn't taking a lot of threes, which we know, you know, if you want to get in Russell's head, let him shoot some threes, man. Right? But Houston scares me because, yeah, like, they just don't have any size. Mm-hmm. Like, they have zero size, you know, and I guess, you know, Tyson Chandler would be that guy, but, like, you know, like we said before, like, Tyson Chandler and Nene Hilario, they shouldn't even be in the league anymore, man.
Yeah.
You know, unless they had this long contract where, you know, they were rotting on someone's benches, like, you know, they weren't even playing Tyson throughout the season, right? So I just don't see how that brand of basketball can be so successful. You know, in the, like, yeah, they could probably get past the first round, like, if they get, you know, a Utah or maybe a Dallas or one of those teams, but, like, I'm pretty sure right now Houston's in, like, sixth place.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not sure who's in third place, but it might not be the best matchup for them. Now, will they get out the first round? I think they will, because Harden is a dog and Russ is a dog, and those two alone can kind of get you through that first round, right? But long term, oof. I don't know too many matchups that really match up well, especially with the top three teams in the East. I think Denver's a really bad matchup for them because of the size of Denver, and they have a lot of guards. And both LA teams, like, they don't have a shot against both LA teams with the way they play. Not in the seven game.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And even to your point, you were correct about the 6-3 matchup. They do fall six. They're tied with Oklahoma City, but they're, what, 2.5 games back of being the third seed, which would be Denver. And to your point, I think Denver is a team, depending on, one, their health with MPJ, and two, the Bol Bol, the big kid, you know, shout out to Manute Bol, an all-time great shot blocker, RIP to him.
Shout out to Africa.
Yeah, for real. Like, but Bol Bol and MPJ, those are two guys that, depending on where their health is, they could give Houston some problems. But even just going back to Houston, Russ, to me, is the biggest catalyst in terms of how he's going to be able to, you know, complement Harden in terms of, we've seen it. Harden down the stretch in the playoff games, it just seems like he runs out of gas. He has to do a lot in their offense. He's a ball handler. Yeah, they had Chris Paul, but especially when Chris Paul went down, we saw that, hey, if we shrink the floor and make these guys shoot contested threes, then it's going to be a long series. But to me, I think Russ has been so good because, one, I'm just looking at his shot distribution. This year, from the field goal percentage, the amount of attempts in terms of frequency, he shot 41% of his shots at the rim, Whereas last year, he shot 36% of his shots at the rim. And then you look at his three ball last year, he shot 28% of his shots from three. And then this year, only 17. So to your point, does he fit as like – I've seen a lot of videos of him being another guy, almost like a five, where he's in their dunker spot, except his dunker spot is he's going downhill and he's going to punch it on your head. How does that kind of play in terms of negating that lack of size?
I think with Russell, you know, I think if he has the right guys around him saying, hey, Russell, just keep going to the basket. Because Russell can go to the line 15, 16 times a game if he keeps putting his head down, right? And he's another guy that doesn't scare, right? Like, when they played against Utah, they had him on Gobert, and he was like, you guys want to put Gobert on me? I'm going to go down his throat every single time. And he kept going to the basket on Gobert, you know, just flying by him. And he's like, he took it personally. And that's the thing about Russell. Like, he takes it personal, right? And he wants to go against everyone now. You know, we both know who's that guy that, you know, hates Russell just as much as he hates him with Dame Lillard. Those two have some serious battles going on because they're both tough guys, right? And they both go at you. But the way that Russell plays, especially when you got good Russell, he's one of the hardest guys to stop in the league, man. Mm-hmm. He just keeps coming down your throat, downhill. That team will be a problem if he could stay in that mentality, and Harden can, you know, looks like he's lost a little bit of weight. So
yeah.
You know, we don't have thick Harden no more. We got, you know, slim Harden. I think they could be a problem, but I just don't see them getting too far in the playoff because of that size, man. And yeah. I think you need something. Like, he doesn't have to be, like, the greatest player, like what Boston has, but you need somebody that can get dirty around there, grab some rebounds, and, you know, like, you don't even have to block shots. You can just chain shots, but you need somebody there. And having PJ and Chris Covington as the guys that are going to, sorry, man.
Yeah, Robert Covington, I'm not sure if – I mean, and even looking at his stats, if I'm not mistaken, during the time he was playing before the shutdown, he was averaging about two blocks a game, and I don't really see him doing that. That's like a 15-game stretch, and that can – especially if they're going to be playing the Clippers and especially even Denver, those guys have big wings, and they have guys who can finish over you. So it could have been schedule, it could have been that, but – even to your point, they were second in terms of the amount of possessions they had with seven or more dribbles, just behind Portland. And to put that into perspective, the team that was next in line in terms of the amount of seven or plus dribble possessions was the Utah Jazz. And they were at 16%.
I would never have guessed that, man.
Yeah, exactly. Just even looking, you find some weird stuff when you look up the stats, the advanced stats, but – It goes to show you that team runs through those two guards, and they can only go as far as those two take them.
Yeah, Covington was a big pickup for them. I'm going to give them that. That was a big pickup because even when Covington being there, he's been solid, man. He's like a 3-and-D type of guy, but he does get some shot blocks here and there. But sometimes you're just like, when the hell did he have three block shots? Like, is he blocking people jump shots and shit? Like, I don't think he's a rim protector, but I think he can, you know, sneak up on guys and get some blocks here and there, right? But that really worries me, man.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I definitely am intrigued to see how they do. All right, so we talked about the Eastern Conference, talk about Russell Westbrook and Harden and, you know, the Rockets team. Now we have OP in the building. You know, we talk about the big topic in terms of a lot of people's preseason prediction, the Lakers and the Clippers. At one point, we were probably, when we talked about those teams in the same sentence, we talked about how the Lakers were really, you know, the ultimate winner. And then you had the stepchild in the Clippers kind of being run by a poor owner, poor organization. Obviously, the past 6 years, they've kind of revamped everything with Ballmer there, and now they have Kawhi, Paul George, and Cole. What's your take on we'll start first with the Clippers. What's your take on them? What do they have to offer to the table? I'm going to let OP start with this, you know, since, you know, we want to show up a little late, you know what I'm saying? But, I'm joking.
You don't have that, man, for real, boy.
On CP, but, yeah, like, speaking of Clippers. The Clippers, to me, are the best team. They're the championship favorite. Like, as much as everybody knows, my heart wants, you know, LeBron to win. I think the Clippers, well, mind you, we don't know what's going on with Harrell and apparently Lou Will's. I don't know if you guys saw that story.
Yeah.
That rapper Winnie Harlow tweeted took a picture of Lou at the club, apparently had it deleted after, and this was after Lou Will said, yo, I need out of the bubble. He got like an exemption to get out. And then apparently Harlow tweeted a picture of him, like Lou Will with the mask on, and added him. And then he deleted it. So like maybe we can double check that. But that's what I just heard. So if Lou Will can, you know, chill out. But and all jokes aside, like, and obviously Montrezl Harrell is out too. But they said he's supposed to be back.
But if you look at what about Zubac? Isn't he out too?
I think so, because that's why they've been. I know in the scrimmage they had, they started Noah at the five.
Joakim?
Yeah, they started Joakim. It's either start Morris at the five, or you're gonna right, because if you don't have Zubac, you don't have Harrell. If there's one hold, they only like we were talking about before going into this when we did like the pre-chat stuff. The one thing I noticed about the Clippers, every team at the top has something that's a little bit wrong, as opposed to the Warriors for the last couple of years, where it's a matter of like they would have to get hurt for you to lose, and then you'd have to get good. Like the Raptors got a top five player, and then somebody gets hurt, and then you win a championship, right? Mm-hmm. As opposed to the Clippers this year, the flaw is obviously they're thin at the five. You know, Zubac is all right, but Zubac probably wouldn't start on a real on most championship teams that you would think of. You wouldn't be like, Zubac is the guy I want. He's good, but he's not that amazing. Montrezl Harrell has been he's probably been sixth man of the year.
For that.
He's their most versatile guy. If you look at their plus-minus numbers, like regardless of who he's playing with, whether it's Lou, whether it's Kawhi, whether it's PG, he's good. He can finish around the basket. He has a little awkward, like almost shot put game and stuff. And not what you thought he was going to be in Houston, because Houston, they kind of had him as like a rim runner kind of dude. And he kind of evolved as a face up kind of guy too. But in terms of like best team in the league, I think it's them right now.
Well, now that they have Joakim Noah, you know, they got a big, you know, we're going to have a conversation and we're going to figure out who's better between Joakim Noah, Tyson Chandler, and Nene. Because I don't know why all three of them are still in the league and people keep picking them up, man.
Yeah, maybe now you jump in on this, but to me, I think Joakim just comes down to, like, he's probably smart on knowing your defensive schemes, and he's probably pretty quick. And they probably know that if they have everybody, he's only going to be a third-string center. So I think that's what their hope is. Like, he's going to be like what Deion Waiters is for the Lakers.
We're going to have to talk about Deion soon, because, you know, I was watching a little bit of them highlights, and Deion Waiters Island is back, boy. Like, he thought he was playing king of the court, man.
Yeah, sure.
He thought he's an and-one, putting it back and forth, you know, pulling up, and I'm like, dude. Like, you want them edibles, bro, still?
Yeah, it probably took a while to get out of the system, brother.
Let's start talking about that. Sorry, Daniel, I don't mean to kind of segue in there too quickly, but, you know, like, I think we got to really talk about the Lakers, because, you know, they're missing a lot of pieces, and they brought two talented castaways onto this team, right? And personally, Deion, to me, he's got to be coming off that bench, man. I'm not even sure how much you can play him with LeBron. I think you just have to be like, all right, Deion, here's 12 minutes. Just go and try to keep us in the game. Try to score. That's all we need you to do. Take a couple guys, roll with them. We need you to score. Because if you put him on the court with AD, he's going to start looking off AD and be like, nah, I'm Deion Waiters, bro. I got this.
They came to see me.
Yeah. He's always been a talented player, even coming out of Syracuse, but like, he's never been able to find out what he does, right? And I think somewhere in that six-man role where he can kind of, you know, be like popcorn, just put him in a microwave and he's just going to pop, 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 give you some points. I have a hard time seeing him adjust to playing with the big stars on the team.
Yeah. I think the same thing, because I feel like, optimally, because it's hard to get into that game because, like, if we can't go off the first game because, like, Kawhi barely played, LeBron barely played, AD barely played, and from those teams, PG barely played. And they were starting Jared Dudley to start the second half, so I don't think that's a lineup they're going to go to where they got Jared Dudley as the 3-4. Looking chubbier than me.
Another guy, man. How is he still in the league, man?
I think he's just one of those vet guys that people like being around.
And I think so too, man. He's on that Jermaine Jones contract.
Yeah, like everyone just kind of likes him. But in honestly, how they're going to probably use Deion if they're smart is like what you were saying, which is Deion's going to play in a lot of non-LeBron minutes because he needs the ball in his hand. Yeah. So I think that's the best use of him. JR is clearly the guy you play with LeBron because clearly he can play with LeBron. We've seen
him. 3-and-D. That's all he's going to give you. You're right.
You know that he knows what LeBron wants, what LeBron likes, where to stand, where to be. So, like, I feel like JR is going to, once he gets himself accumulated, if you're asking which one is going to be playing down the stretch of the two, it's going to be JR. I don't see Deion, you're hoping, is like in those bench minutes, he goes off, and he can. Right, we see him. He can win it. You know, he'll take bad shots, but he also make them.
I got a question for you two, though. Right, with the Lakers, what kind of player does Anthony Davis have to be in order for the Lakers to be successful in this playoffs? Like, and what I mean by that is, does he have to be the best player on the court every game for the whole playoffs for them to win, or can he still, you know, do the 26-27 and kind of be that guy that's like, you know, he should be a top five player, and he probably is a top five player, but the type of talent that he has, he should probably be one or two. So especially with the way that, you know, you see Giannis taking over games. Like, Giannis takes over games and we see it, right? And I think Anthony Davis, he's a little bit more talented than Giannis, and he should be better.
Well, even to what we've talked about throughout the year, I'm just – you know, Omar's kind of harped on this in terms of when LeBron goes to the bench. One, their plus minus is like way in the negatives when LeBron's on the bench. And also, how are they going to use Anthony Davis? I think in the Clippers game, you kind of saw him take over where it was a lot of switches where LeBron would kind of throw the ball up to him at the rim, use him in the dunker spot, get switches for him to get quick moves. And when he's not really, especially as a guy who's played in the post and, you know, watching a lot of it, it's kind of, at times, I feel like he gets bumped off his spots. And especially when LeBron's on the bench, how are they going to be able to generate some easy looks for him? I think that's going to be the biggest part of how LA, the Lakers in this case, how they attack teams and how they keep that Shaq and Kobe type of dynamic where it's LeBron goes to the bench, okay, AD's going to have a 10-point quarter. Or LeBron goes to the bench, we know LeBron's proven it, but AD, to your point, he has had a couple runs, but he's got to have that dominance where we saw it in that Golden State series 5 years ago when he was pretty much solo.
Yeah.
I'm going to piggyback off what you said. I think if the Lakers have any advantage over the Clippers, I don't think they do much outside of, like, they don't have the two best players on the floor because, you know, you could argue that it's LeBron, Kawhi, then AD, then PG, if you're like where to draft those guys. So you could, and depending on what you want, you could flip-flop Kawhi and LeBron. But I think the one thing the Lakers have, we talked about their depth, it probably got exposed over the Clippers, is that they don't really have a guy on that lineup who should be able to guard AD, right?
Yeah.
Because the guy you're going to use to guard AD is probably, what, Kawhi? But then who's guarding LeBron? Right, so you can't do that. So it really comes down to, like, I don't know if they don't have a guy who can guard. Marcus Morris can't guard him, Zubac can't guard him, Montrezl Harrell can't guard him. Anybody they get on a switch will not be able to guard AD one on one. No way. So that, if there's one advantage the Lakers have, and it's very slim, but that's the difference in championships, is winning in the margins, is that they have a guy where the Clippers can't – they don't have a body who can guard him. They might have a body who can slow down and contain LeBron and Kawhi and PG, but neither one of those guys can guard AD. They shouldn't be able to guard AD. He's too big.
Yeah.
Right? He's got a nice soft touch. So if they can get him going, then and he can become that guy more often. Because the thing is with him, with AD, you need him to be – LeBron at the point of his career right now can probably win you a game six, win you a game seven. Yeah. But yeah. I don't know if he's at the point physically where he can, like, this whole series is mine. I don't know if he has that in him. And I'm hoping AD can be that guy to be like, all right, games two, three, and four is me. You know, and
yeah. –
You know, and that's it. Like, Dave, and that really what it comes down to. The Clippers are the better team overall. They have the most depth. They have the most dogs. They have the younger players. They're more energetic. They're better defensively. They're not better at defending the rim, but like we've talked about in like our pre-show meeting, what they do is they stop you from getting there in the first place, which is kind of their magic. They kind of like they give up the least points in the paint. So. I really think it just comes down to, and you know, all the championships going to go through whoever wins this series between these two teams, because it feels like it's just a collision course. The one advantage the Lakers have is that they have a mismatch with AD on the floor that the Clippers don't have personnel to match. Now, mind you, I don't know who really could guard him one-on-one in the NBA. And that's kind of to Phil's point. Like, there really shouldn't be anybody who can. You know what I'm saying? Like 6'10", 6'11", step back and shoot, face up, handles the ball. There really shouldn't be anybody in the league who can guard him one-on-one. And okay. I think LeBron knows that.
Okay, so you're the Lakers. Who's LeBron covering on that team, right? Because, you know, you're going to have to put him on PG or Kawhi, right? Is that fair to say? Like, and the one thing that you don't want your star player doing is covering another star player for a full game because, you know, their offense gets compromised, chasing them around, playing defense and what more, right? Now, who do you have them cover? Do you have them cover PG?
I think what Daniel, you probably speak better to me. I think they tried this the first time they played him. They tried Danny Green and they tried KCP on Kawhi. And it didn't really work.
No, it's not working, man. That's not working.
And then Bron had to guard in the game they won. LeBron guarded Kawhi for pretty much like 90% of that game. Yeah, they pretty much guarded each other.
They've got a lot of their stuff too. Yeah, that's true.
Like and it's true. They as much as the Lakers don't, the Clippers don't have an answer for AD. The Lakers don't have a full time answer for LeBron. For Kawhi. They could probably get LeBron to do it for a game, a quarter.
Not for a series.
But not for a full series, not for a full 48. Because even Kawhi's not going to guard and to counter that, Kawhi's not guarding Bron for the whole thing. They have That's the advantage the Clippers have, is that Kawhi only has to really guard LeBron for two quarters at a time to a quarter at a time. Unless he's going.
Yeah.
It's gonna be a great series just because, like, you know, if you're thinking about the four guys, no matter who is around them, you're an instant contender. You know, you got LeBron, Kawhi, Giannis, and KD are probably the four guys where it's like, no matter what happens, we're a championship team. And, you know, you got two of them going head-to-head in this series. So I'm excited to see how it's going to break down. I still think the Clippers are my favorite. I don't know what Daniel thinks, but I think the Clippers are still the favorite just because I think they're the better team, the better coach, they're deeper. And I think they should win. If the Lakers just have two atom bombs, where if like those they both go off, if they Shaq and Kobe it, to Daniel's point, then it's a different type of series.
Have you guys watched the Lakers more than I do because you know how I feel about them, but you guys got to answer me. Before this COVID stuff happened, were we seeing LeBron and AD with a real, like, rhythm with each other? Or were they just kind of, like, doing their own thing and just kind of dominating, like, the way they do?
I think they were towards the back end. I know they had that little, loss, that questionable loss against the Nets. But, I mean, hey, a team's going to catch you slipping. You know, it's the NBA. They won, if I'm not mistaken, they won a good stretch of games before that that game against Brooklyn. But to your point, I think Omar kind of talked about this off air when he was like, LeBron literally gives you that March warning where it's like, okay, I'm here. You know, I may be gray-bearded, 35 going on 36, year 17, but I'm somebody who's still considered amongst the greatest to ever play the game, still considered amongst, you know, the one of the best players in the league currently. And I thought he was in that zone where he had the most control. He was kind of, like you said, he was in the zone of, yeah, it's March, but I'm playing the marathon, and this is the time where you're going to know that, hey, come April, when I'm able to micromanage games, because Omar can talk about this. You know that we talked about this off air with Cleveland. I know he had less talent there, but you saw how he's able to micromanage. And I know this may pick some old wounds with Dwayne Casey, but we saw how he and Ty Lue were able to pretty much say, hey, we're going to go at matchups. And I thought that I saw that from LeBron in March. And even going back to watching the games, I remember watching the game in March leading up to that postseason in 2018 and saying, I think LeBron had 17 assists and no turnovers. I'm like, all right, Raptors, I know they have a pace of 160 games, but to me, this was a game where I'm like, if he's in playoff mode, I do not think the Raptors have a chance. Did I think they were going to get swept? No, but you know what happened? And I think, yeah, it's 2 years later, and yeah, AD, to me, has more of an impact in terms of, you know, obviously a Kevin Love or the other guys on that team. But I think they were at a point where they were looking at the top of the league.
Well, to further point, I think – to me, I feel like LeBron and AD were always kind of in sync from the beginning. If you watch their team, it was always who was the third, fourth guy. It was never like those two always seemed to be good when they're on the floor together. Like LeBron, LeBron doesn't have a bag. Like if you go on these Instagram guys, they talk about guys with a bag, and you know, even though he's skilled, they talk about guys who can face up and do all that stuff. But what he has better than probably any player this side of Magic Johnson is that he's able to exploit and pinpoint mismatches and kind of pressure your defense. So all five of you guys are always stressed when I have the ball in my hand. I felt like him and AD have figured out the roles. They figured out the rim roles. They had the lobs. I think they were like LeBron and AD were like them. I think only Luka and like – I'm going to have to look this up, but I feel like – assists from one player to the other, I think it wasn't even close.
Yeah,
their chemistry was like on point. The problem was is that, as we know as Raptor enthusiasts and super fans, Danny Green, KCP, Caruso, Rondo, you know what I'm saying? It's a lot of question marks around the two that the Clippers just don't have. The Clippers have a Kawhi, and they have but they also have PG, and they also have a bunch of other guys that are good at getting Lou Will, you know.
Lou Will has been getting buckets for a minute, man.
Oh, yeah. Lou Will's the guy that, to me, to your point, does LA have that defender outside of LeBron? Because I even watching KCP guarding a Tatum. Tatum's 6'8", KCP's about 6'5", and he struggles with guys with size. KCP, Omar kind of talked about how he was a guy who was good defensively early in the season. We're like, why is this guy on the team? But then he's turned it around on offense. But he's there to be a 3-and-D guy. But if they don't have that main wing defender that can impact the shots of Kawhi and PG, especially because – looking at their coverages, they like to go into a drop, so they pretty much like to funnel you over the screen. But if they're going to get caught on those screens, and I was reading while we were talking about Zubac, he is apparently on his way to Orlando, so that's something to look out for. He's a good screener in terms of the amount of good shots and clean looks he can get guys on, especially Lou Will. You said he's a bucket-getter. He loves that pull-up, man. So if they're not going to have that guy who can wreak havoc on defense, on especially their smaller guards – him and Shamit in particular, Lou Will. Yeah, I don't know, man. That question for sure, I think that's a good point that you brought up. You know, who's that defender for the Lakers on the wing? And what's
who's the guy that they're very old school. They're almost speaking of Lakers, they're very much like the early 2000 Lakers, where it's like Kobe and Shaq are going to be great.
Yeah,
and is it going to be Ori or Fisher or who that night?
Walton.
Somebody goes, and that's what they kind of they're old school in that formula. And they play out of the post a lot more than probably any other team, especially in this era. The way they play out of the post is like ridiculous. Remember that first game against the Clippers? They ran like it was like 10 post ups in a row, which doesn't happen in today's NBA.
Not in this NBA, man. There's no team that do that.
So they're running a very like two and a possible, you know, and the Clippers have two and three and four and a possible. And I think that's the difference between the two teams. They have a guy in Kawhi who can go head to head with Bron, PG, I don't think he's in the same tier as AD, but he's good enough. And then everybody else is good. So those two teams for sure. I think it's exciting that there's finally some uncertainty because you know going into last year, if you thought you know the Raptors are going to win a championship. After the Warriors had signed DeMarcus, you would have been like, you know, you're crazy. But that's the reason why you make those trades, because you never know.
Yeah.
Right? You play the games.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much it. But, again, you know, if you go through the teams, Houston, who's the one team that can maybe throw this off? You guys might have mentioned it already. It's probably Houston. Might be able to throw a wrench into the Clippers' plans. I don't know. They got two studs too. That's the only team I could see maybe throwing them off. Maybe they get hot for a series, and you know, next thing you know, we got Houston out Lakers, which would be a little bit would be interesting too. But I really think the Clippers are the best team in the league.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you on that. You know, it's like the Lakers and the Clippers, and then it's kind of like everyone else. You know what I'm saying? Like you have Dallas that you know. Had some good stretches. Denver is, you know, Denver should have been the best team in the West according to their trajectory of where they're going from last year into this year with their cohesion, their team. A lot of good young players that had a year to play in the playoffs, and we thought they would go a little bit higher. You guys know how I feel about Portland. I think if Portland gets in, they're going to be a problem, man. I think Portland's going to be a problem. I just really like their depth. I really like the fact that Dame is Dame. Like, we know Dame has all the confidence in the world. He's a killer. But CJ is starting to, like, it's like he's getting a little bit more confidence, you know. Like, he's starting to get, like, all cool and shit. He doesn't get like Urkel anymore. He got the, you know, the little plaits in his head now. Like, he's hanging out with some hoodmans now. So, you know, he's got a little bit more confidence. You know what I'm saying? But, like, I see the way he's playing. And I know there's scrimmages and what more. But you can see, like, CJ can ball, boy. Like, CJ goes at guys.
I don't know if you guys talking about. I've been impressed because this is I know all these guys are lying. Like, Giannis admitted he was lying. All those guys that are, like, the stars all look good. There's not a single one who looks like, oh, they've been sitting down chilling. Everybody, those guys were all working out. You can clearly tell that if anybody's struggling, it's just timing. And because normally by now you would have had even a mini camp, you would have had maybe even you met up in the summer. So like if you watched the Boston OKC little scrimmage they had this today, Boston was really having trouble on defense, just keeping in front of guys. And normally they don't struggle like that, so I don't know if it was a timing issue. Though mind you, OKC was playing their death lineup. It was the four. It was Gallinari, Adams, Phil's boy, Dennis Schroeder.
Shout out Africa.
Exactly. And then the kid from Hamilton, Alexander, and CP. And, you know, those guys are going to be a problem, too, just because that lineup is, like, me and Dan were talking about this before. They got four ball handlers with Gallinari. Yeah. That's, you know, you're never getting a break on any kickout. You know, and Adams is the strongest dude probably in the NBA. Yeah. So, like, he holds his spot, and, you know, Butler tells that story about getting screened by him and feeling like he was going to die.
Yeah, I get that. Oh, but, like, you know, but like me and Daniel were talking about with the Toronto team, like, who's that guy, like, down the stretch when you need someone, not just to get a bucket, but, like, you know, like, for example, I was watching that Game 7 Toronto and Philly. Oh, and in that fourth quarter, Kawhi, he had like 9 straight points. And you need those guys to just be able to take over, not a bucket, 2 buckets, but to get hot and give you 12 in the fourth quarter or 14 in the fourth quarter and just take over a quarter when you need them to. And that's what scares me about OKC. Like, Portland's got that guy. Like, Dame can get hot and Dame could drop 23 in a quarter. But I just don't think they have that guy. They play really good like the Raptors, but there's someone that's just going to keep going at guys like a straight dog.
Yeah, you're not
going to. That's what worries me the most about that.
Yeah, I mean, that's what the NBA is, unfortunately. There's only maybe like 10 to 15 guys who can do that, right? In the whole,
those are the best teams in the league, though. Those are the
best teams in the league. The Raptors are kind of defying expectations. I've made an argument before. You could argue that obviously winning the championship is the pinnacle, but considering who you lost and the injuries, it's probably a better season. Like, just the totality of the season, not the result, because obviously nothing's better than winning the championship. But, like, in terms of, like, what's more impressive? If you ask me, what's more impressive, winning a title with Kawhi Leonard as your best player, which we've seen, or having a chance to go to the finals again with Pascal and Kyle and losing Kawhi, yeah. I think it's even more impressive. To be honest,
we haven't seen them in the playoffs yet. And earlier I was talking to Daniel about the Raptors early on, and I compared them loosely, extremely loosely, to that Bulls team after Michael left. When Mike left, you remember that they won 55 games. They only won 2 less games than what they did with Mike that first year. When the playoffs come and they played against the Knicks, they didn't have that guy. They didn't have that Scotty. Scotty was great
that year, though.
The biggest fault in Scotty's game was, he wasn't a takeover type of guy.
No, he's a playmaker who could score.
Yeah, like he was, you know, he's a playmaker, and you know, you need that guy, and I think that's what Chicago lacked when they played against that Knicks team.
He's like a diet Grant Hill.
Yeah, and I think Toronto is in that same boat. They're a good team because they have cohesion and they can play together, but you know, Siakam's going to be that guy down the stretch where you give the ball to and you say, hey, go give us 7 in a row. Like, you know what's coming.
Yeah, no, you're gonna have to. Like Kawhi won. Speaking of last year, he had the game they should have won, Game 5. Uh-huh. He went berserk for a minute. Yeah, it was just like, because the part about Kawhi, and this is the separate conversations. I know we're kind of tangent, we're going all over the place, but I like it. Is the one thing that Pascal needs to work on that LeBron has that even. That game even has, that Steph has, that KD obviously has, because, you know, that guy's a nightmare. But, like, and even Giannis, is sometimes you just got to muscle some shit. And, like, and Kawhi is the definition of, like, I don't – like, his game is kind of robotic, like, all the jokes aside. But he's very, like, he gets between the legs. And sometimes it's like, yeah, you cut me off, but I don't care. Like, I'm going to hit this in your face. Pascal's still at the level of, like – he's got to get you guessing. He's got to beat you all the time. And sometimes you just got to be like, yo, you stop me at 15 feet, but who cares? I'm still going to pull up and hit this in your face.
But that's the problem, though. Pascal doesn't have a pull-up mid-range at all.
No, he's a new breed guy. And that's the problem with some new breed guys is that when you stress the 3 and the rim, if you don't get that in-between game, you still need to come playoff time. You still need to get there because guys are going to stop you from getting in the rim. The good teams will. They're going to muscle you up. Refs not calling stuff, especially in that bubble, because now refs are not worried about the crowd no more.
Yeah.
So, like, that's not even bearing down on them. So, like, it's going to be – you can even see in the scrimmages, it looks more physical just because guys are, like, you know, getting into each other a bit more. Mm-hmm. And Kyle's not big enough. He's got the heart, but he's just not big enough. You usually don't win with a footer. Unless your name's Isaiah Thomas in Detroit, not in Boston, and you don't win unless Pascal becomes the guy. And right now, he's just not there yet. That's why there's a ceiling. If you're going to tier the teams, you're probably going Lakers, Clippers, Lakers. I don't care what order you say it in. Bucks, because they're the best team in the East, and you have to give them that. I don't. they're in that tier, even if they're slightly behind those two teams. I still think you got to give them the shot because they're coming out of the East. And then it's a bunch of teams like Houston, Toronto, where, like, things need to break right for them to be successful. And I don't think it's enough. They're going to have to – but it'll be a good year. I think Raptors fans should at least be happy that they competed.
Happy to compete? What are you, Canadian?
No, you got it. They're a defending champion. They're a true defending champion. Because you've seen it, man. You're seeing teams that win the title, and then the next year they lose their best player. They fall apart, right? It's this team has had the whole season to be like, all right, we didn't win a championship. Now we're all hurt. You know, we could just be like, hey, you guys just take everyone. I don't think anybody would be upset. Everyone would kind of expect the hangover, but they've played well. I'm not saying they, you know, we should be happy with moral victories, and the Raptors need to make some moves clearly because this is not good enough. But
you think they need to make moves? I think they're one really good player away from being really, really good, man. Again.
Giannis, you get ready for my Giannis conspiracy?
Hey, if Milwaukee don't win this year, and he just keeps looking at that same team like, this isn't good enough? Yeah. He's gonna dip.
Now I can speak to this. He reminds me of their games aren't the same, but his situation reminds me a lot of Bron in 08, like 09. Not even 2010 or when he left. I'm talking like 09 where he's just starting to realize, like, it don't really matter what I do. It might not be enough. Now, Chris Middleton has been way better this year. Yeah. He's not been Allen Crabbe.
Yeah.
But and George Hill is, like, the best three-point shooter in the league somehow this year. DiVincenzo, that, you know, Dallas boy, has been good. White Dante. But, like – to me, it feels like I could understand this frustration because they're going to get a point where you're just going to keep hitting his head against the wall. Let them mess around and, like, Philly beat them, you know, and, you know, you might start thinking like, hey, what am I doing? Mm-hmm. You know, and Masai, you know, he gets in people's ears and next thing you know.
You know, yeah, and Miami gave them problems all season, right? Miami beat them once or twice this year.
Yeah, Miami has the length. That's a team I know we don't really think of them as a kind of at the forefront of the Eastern NBA itself.
I do.
Defensively, I think they're there. Whether they have the scoring to do it, I don't know. But, I mean, to your point, I mean, if they can get the Jimmy of last year, I think they can be
like Jimmy was a problem in that Toronto series, man. Yeah. Like, I think because Kawhi played so well, we didn't see how well Jimmy did for that team. Like, Jimmy was a problem.
Yeah, if you watch that fourth quarter, it's Jimmy every time the Philly needs an answer. Every time Philly needs an answer, it's Butler. He kept them in that game because that game should have ended a while ago, but Butler kept them in it. And we never got – because of the lockout, we never got to see Butler, Iggy, Bam. Those are three – man, like, that's going to be a problem defensively for anyone, man.
Yeah.
You can't isolate Bam on a switch. He almost takes that personally.
So, yeah, and he's so quick off his feet that he's got to pull up on him, and he's blocking jump shots, right? Like, he's getting those tips on jump shots, which is really hard for bigs to do when they get isolated in that man-to-man, right? But he's so good off his feet, man.
Yeah, and then you think about it – if you're looking at Giannis, and we talked about this before, the kind of guy you want guarding him is Bam. Physically, quick enough to stay in front of him, strong enough to muscle him. Kawhi, LeBron, and Embiid.
What about Al Horford? What do you think about
him? He can do it too. I think Horford is the guy. He's even more effective if those guys on Milwaukee start missing shots. Because then the court shrinks even more. And then Giannis hasn't really proven that he can even muscle some stuff out sometimes. He kind of struggles getting his shot off. And we saw in the Toronto series, Kawhi is just so damn special that he just took him out. They probably win that series if it's any other player. It's just that Kawhi just continually took him out of rhythm.
Yeah.
We know how special that kid is. So we saw it firsthand what that guy was in the playoffs. That's the reason why I think they're going to win. I just think he can do enough to hold off LeBron. Even if he's not better, he can just be good enough to kind of cancel him out. And then it comes down to the other guys. But it's been a fun – it's going to be fun, you know, for sure.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, man. It's right around that corner, man. I'm really looking forward to this, man. We've been without sports for way too long, and, you know, we got to get back in this, man. Right. Because, yeah, like, as much as we, like, you know, as much as we think we know who's going to win and who's not going to win, we have no damn idea, man.
Yeah, no clue. Yeah, it's real unique.
Yeah, I was telling you guys in, like, the chat, like, I've been watching F1. That's how bad I've been.
Like, yeah, I told you, I'm an English Premier League, you know, go Chelsea.
Like, I'm watching Drive to Survive. I've been watching Grand Prix on record. Like, I've been struggling. I you know what I realized, though? Baseball, Mr. like, off-topic. Off-topic, they missed their chance. Because like, I was on today, and they turned on the TV, and I'm like, oh, it's opening day. And then, like, I watched an inning.
Wait, hold on. It's opening day?
Exactly. It was opening day yesterday, and we watched. It was Atlanta and the Mets, and it was DeGrom, and like I was like, you know what, Boston OKC. I'll watch the scrimmage. I'll watch the first half, and that was because baseball really messed up. I think not getting the first out because now they don't got my attention, and I watch baseball. They don't got my attention. I don't care, and you know, and even with the Jays playing in Buffalo, especially, they lost me. Like, I'm going to watch, but I don't care.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's hard to buy in a 60-game season, right?
Yeah, especially when there's, like, over 100 left. Yeah, just to wrap things up, it's definitely been a good time talking to you guys. Obviously, we kind of rambled on after the LA talks, and we're definitely going to discuss a lot more as the season goes along, as we've talked about off-air. But it's safe to say this is definitely going to be the most intriguing season, most unique season. And we touched upon maybe 6 to 8 teams that, hey, you never know. With this virus, there could be a champion like the Houston Rockets or even the Boston Celtics, for example. So, you know, thank you for tuning in to another episode of Daniel's Den. I'm your host, Daniel Castley. Want to thank our guests, OP and Philly Phil in the building. Take care, people.